Everything that you did, even your picking of cotton, you didn't love the cotton you picked. You hated that cotton you picked. When you farmed or dug potatoes out of the ground for him, you hated it. When you cut trees or laid horse piles, you hated it. When you patched up a barn or helped him build a house, you hated it. Nobody has been a loving psychologist or psychoanalysis for you to take your mind back to that ugly experience to let you know that there's a danger in your psychological makeup. A danger for you today. That right today, you mistreat valuable things. You don't appreciate valuable things. You place no value on your own sex. Many of you don't place any value on your children's lives. Why? Because for centuries, you inherit the mind and the spirit to place no value on something that had no value in that history. Hold up, just be patient and listen. So out of you now come the force of rebellion, the force of destruction. You still carry it in you, though you are physically free. You want to tear the city down. You know, Auschwitz used to be mostly Caucasian people. You hardly ever found black people guilty of Auschwitz. But I remember reading the paper and the parents reading it. Telling us of incidents of arson all the time, committed by white people. You know why the white people love burn fire? Why that was in him? Because he's not far from the days in the cave when he used to sit around fire with his cave family, with his caveman family. And they depended on the fire for light, for heat, to burn old animal he found or killed. So he has not got away from that old sensation, that old thrilling sensation of sitting around fire. Now you, brother and sister, when you destroy, there's something in your history too that's coming out. And that's your hatred for this world that you were forced to build, but it was not yours, and you had to build it for your number one enemy. So it doesn't take much to turn black people like a herd of stampeding cattle against a multi-million dollar structure, and they are tied down and have no thought about what they're tearing down, because it have already been programmed into their system by many centuries of slavery that deprived them of any enjoyment, of enjoying any of the benefits of their physical labor, and seeing their enemy enjoy all the benefits of their physical labor. So when they see mansions, they see big structures, beautiful structures, if something will trigger in them a destructive spirit, what comes to their mind from ancient history? The white man's world. This belongs to the white man. I'm going to tear it down. He made me build it when I was a slave, but now I'm going to tear it down. What did Rap Brown say? Burn the city down. Burn the city down. He didn't think. Don't you know Rap Brown? He wasn't no fool. Rap Brown ain't no fool. Rap Brown was educated. But he couldn't think. If he had had the ability to think that thing out, he would never say burn the city down. There's so many other very, very more effective, intelligent ways to cripple this enemy society that work against black people's freedom, justice, and equality than bringing a physical lit torch to some building and burning it down, but I have to live in it, my children have to live in it. But he said, burn it down. Burn the neighborhood down. So the burning started, right? They burnt the property down, and they enjoyed doing it. I remember seeing the pictures on TV and how happy they were. breaking out windows, tearing up fine things, destroying valuable property, setting fire to fine places. They were happy doing it because in their subconscious, they were not burning something that meant anything to them. They were getting even with the Caucasian world for forcing them to build this world against their will and against their spirit and as a weight to stand upon their back for the glory of the white man. So they hate what they did, and they're rebelling against it. They want to tear it down. They want to destroy it. It's a hard thing right now to get black people, especially those who need it most, to stop destroying themselves so that we can give them the life-giving truth that will build them up. It's hard to get them to put down alcoholism, dope addiction, shooting up each other, cutting up each other, idle-mindedness, laying around in the house, letting the clock tick around from 12 to 12, and only go out if they're forced to go out. No will to get up out of the bed. And if they can get out of the bed, they don't want to work. They don't want to do anything constructive. They don't want to labor with something that will mean greatness for them tomorrow. They'd rather go out and do something fast and haphazard and stay idle and stay filthy. This is the spirit of slave days, brothers and sisters. This is that spirit that was cultivated in us by the slave master. The spirit of do nothing. The spirit of dislike, distaste for culture, for civilization, for refinement, a hatred for real value, a hatred for knowledge. Everything that you saw in the white man, you hated it. When he spoke fluent English, you hated him for speaking fluent English. So how did this act within you? It made you dislike to speak fluent English. So you messed us up for generations after generations. Just spit out the language. Do up the words. Make one nigger dialect after another. Or one nigger, what they don't call it, dialect. Not a dialect, what they call it? Jargon or slang language or whatever it is. Make one after another. Get tired of one, make a new one. But won't take the time to try to speak that English correctly or properly. Why? Because the Caucasians spoke it that way. Slave master spoke it that way. And I'm jealous of him. I hate him for speaking that language so well and depriving me of education. So I don't want to talk. I don't even speak it. Don't you know there are some religious people right today who refuse to reach, to enjoy the benefit of modernization because they hate that their competitor in the world of religious mission, their competitor in the world of religious mission, are the ones who get the credit for inventing these modern things. So rather than use these modern things, they deny themselves the comfort, the better life of the things that these modern, the life that these modern things will provide for them. They do it because they hate the people that were able to bring about these modern developments. Same thing is acting with us, brother and sister. Within us, the same forces are in play, making you dislike to refine your tongue, making you dislike to refine your mind. When we were fighting hard for equal education, it seemed that we were on the road to get higher knowledge, didn't it? But as soon as something happened in the society to give us an excuse to turn against the pursuit of higher knowledge, we took up the old ignorant idea Oh, get sloppy, man. Get funky, man. Get sloppy. You hate a nigga if he try to be too intelligent. Oh, that's an intellectual prude. I hate that nigga. If he try to go clean and dignified. Oh, look at that phony, artificial nigga. I'm funky, man. I'm funky, man. That's that old spirit. That white supremacist, that builder of white supremacists, bred into your people, is coming back out in you. He's gone. 6 feet under, and I doubt if you can find his bones now. But his spirit rests in peace because his work moves on in you. Our brothers and sisters, we have to close out this talk and get to our notes here and quickly let you know what we have on these papers. But I don't want you to forget the talk this afternoon. Religion means alive. And alive doesn't mean alive in any ghostly fashion. Alive as spiritualists only. Alive means being alive in all of your fundamental development. And the first fundamental development of the human life is biological life that produced a sensitive being. And that sensitive being grows into an emotional being. And that emotional being, if he matures, he grows into a mentally stable being. And alive means growing from one human state to the other until you reach maturity, which is called man, which means mind. And if you're not mature as a mind, then you haven't reached your full growth or your full development. Man is called man, and the same word man is in woman, meaning that man or mind is born in the womb of a female or out of the womb of a female. But a woman, she is man too, in the true sense of the word. The Holy Quran says that men excel women in physical physique, and in that they have acquired out of the things provided to them by God. So the Holy Quran teaches us that male superiority in the world over female is because the male has been free. He's not been tied at home domestically to carry children for 9 months in his stomach, and then to stay with them until they're 2 or 3 years old and able to make it for themselves a little bit. So he's not tied at home, and because this has been the society, the life of the society, for untold number of years, thousands and thousands of years, man's freedom to go out from the home and do the hard work has made him more fit physically. He's more physically fit for that type of work. And because he had the freedom to go find the wealth in the distant land, out from the home dwelling, he got the wealth in his hand. But if the woman had been put in his place with her same mind, with her same human makeup, if he had been burdened with the physiological problem of bearing and raising children, then the woman would be the ruler of the world today and not the man. This is the teaching of Scripture, and I defy anyone to argue with it. In the true history of Islam, the days of Prophet Muhammad and his successors, there was no such thing as enslavement of the women. Women were not forced to wear veils, to hide their faces in public. Women were not told to stay out of men's affairs. In fact, they're still on the pages of the Holy Quran. Injunctions from divine source, the Holy Prophet, saying that a woman have equal rights with men to own property, to engage in business, to inherit wealth, and to participate in the direction of the society, in the directing of the society. But don't listen to the lies that you heard on religion. Come to us for the truth. I will quickly cover this report and listen attentively because I don't have time to give it to you slowly. For the first time, brothers and sisters, and when I say brothers and sisters, I'm speaking to all of you, because whether you're brothers and sisters in the faith or not, we are brothers and sisters in the flesh. And if you don't believe it, then just give a little thought to the fact that we mate together and can have children and become one family. But you can't do that with apes and horses and other creatures. So we are brothers and sisters, whether we recognize it or not. For the first time, we are reporting to the general public. Informing you and enlightening you on the state of our society, nationwide, and now a growing international society called the Nation of Islam in America. I'll begin with simple performance. During the first 4 months of this year, we had in excess of 76,000 persons attending Muhammad's Temples of Islam for the first time. Of this figure, approximately 39,000 officially registered as members of this body Christ, the Nation of Islam. Our very presence here speaks for the sense of the sociologists and social scientists and political scientists and whatnot of this world. They said that we would start quarreling amongst ourselves. We would destroy our strength. That Louis Farrakhan would come against Wallace Muhammad. Raymond Sharif would come against Louis Farrakhan. Muhammad Ali would take a few. They didn't know that God had all of us and he wasn't intending to let any of us go. Since February 25 of this year, the rate of acceptance has increased about 40%. Now, we are known to be people that when we speak the truth. So what we tell you here, we can prove it. Our total attendance at temple meetings during this period of 4 months was 750,000 people. March and April's attendance presents some 500,000 of this number. Just March and April reflect 500,000 of this number. Contributing greatly to the constant growth are the giant men of character we call the foot soldiers. These men you see sitting here, and they are out there, and they are out there too, so don't think that you are not watching. We don't bring all our men in here. We know we still have enemies. You do something against us, and you'll be in so much trouble. That's right. When I was a kid, I thought I was tough, you know. And I could thump, as we called it, you know. And one day we were walking in the neighborhood, and I went over to some boys. My friend come running up all over me. Leave him alone, bother that one, man. Leave that nigga alone, man. So I looked at him, and I saw how frightened my friend was. I left him alone, too. For the first 5 months of this year, our Muhammad Sikh distribution was in excess of 19 million copies. Our press runs are averaging over 950,000 copies per week, almost 1 million. I believe that's about at least seven times more than the biggest minority publication. And this is only a publication that serves the propagation of Islam and the lifting of the thinking of our people. When we get this hard job done, then we're going to come out with a publication that will just be a news publication. New York Times, you'll have to wait a while. But Chicago Daily News and Chicago Sun-Times will put you out of business overnight. So we have extended a hand of friendship to the general public. We ought to sit down together and talk sometime so that we won't have to suffer heavy losses in the future. Our press runs are averaging over 950,000 copies per week, but we don't tell you exactly how much money this represents because some things should remain secret. But it is one of our strongest supporters. And because of the great men of character, the foot soldiers, the fruit of Islam, the circulation continued to rise. And the attendance continued to grow. The Muhammad Speaks distribution has increased about 12.5% during the last 90 days. Because of our success, and I don't think I'm using too big a word when I say that this success is miraculous. You hardly can find it in history that a people have depended so completely upon a leader for over 40 years as we depended upon our leader, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, may peace be on him, and then have him taken away from us and suffer not 1 minute, not 1 second of loss or setback, but continue to move
day by day.
That's hard to find in history. Because of our increased revenue from progress in attendance and in general morale amongst the Muslims, we have been able to move a little bit more into the field of international operations. During the calendar year of 1973, a delegation from the Nation of Islam went to Peru to negotiate a multi-million dollar contract for importing whiting fish from Peruvian waters to the United States mainland for distribution and sale throughout our vast marketing network of over 176 temples of Islam. In addition to the sales on the United States mainland, Whiting 18C has been sold by our distributors in various foreign countries. In order to give you an idea of the magnitude of this project, the Nation of Islam, during the past 16 months, expended some $6,382,000 for expenses related to importing in excess of 26 million pounds of whiting fish. Thank you very much. And I don't see it as poison in there. Because even if it was, my sister would throw it out. God's will is so strong in us today, nothing can stop it. That nigga saying that he can't be killed? No, I'm not. But I'm saying that you can't kill me unless God permit it to happen. All right, let's go on now. See, this is a lie. This is what you call being a lie. If you go to a city and you see that city looking all dark, the street lights ain't on, transportation ain't moving in it, days all drawn on the house, on the home windows, businesses all dark. You say, God, God, good God, good God, this town is really dead. Well, we have been just that dead as a people until we got this shot in the arm from the Holy Quran, from Master Farad Muhammad, from Master Elijah Muhammad, and combined it with all that we have inherited of good, and now, man, oh man, we are coming alive. In addition, we have imported 541,000 cans of premium quality sardines, packed exclusively from the Nation of Islam, from Morocco, Africa. This represents an income in excess of $22 million. Now you know, a generation ago, we used to dream, some of us, the great majority, wasn't even capable of dreaming like this.
That's right.
But a generation or so ago, a minute number of us used to dream about running off figures to the public. $1 million, $20 million. That dream is a reality today. Get on board, little children. Get on board. Of this amount, $7 million went to national headquarters, and the balance went to individual temple businesses and their operations throughout the United States. In the very near future, business representatives of the Nation of Islam will be traveling to various countries in response to governmental invitations to negotiate contracts for improving, importing, and exporting of various foodstuffs and commodities. Because of the overwhelming response of the general public to these import items, it is necessary for us to renegotiate our contract with Peru and Morocco, Africa, to increase poundage of their imports. When you have a broad vision like that was left with us from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, may peace be upon him, if you get a start in one area of operation, or in one operation, in the area of that broad vision, it makes you prepare, it prepares you or makes you strong enough to then move into another area. All you need is a start. For 35 or more years, I remember hearing him preach, now Elijah Muhammad, he said, all we want is a start. They let us get a start. So because of a good start in these other areas and the benefit of fruit and revenue from these areas, we are able to increase or to build up still further other areas of business operations. In order to enlighten our supporters, we now will offer some facts concerning a portion of the nation's real estate holdings that we feel is in order because of the support that we get from many who are part of the general public. Thousands come in and then don't remain, all of them, on our regular attendance roll. But the great majority remain believers and supporters. And they go back and they become part of the general public. There are many here right today who perhaps haven't attended a meeting in a year, or maybe more. But they have remained in this life, and they have remained supporters. They are contributors, they contributed to the strength of this great nation of Islam. We owe it to them. We also owe it to those who never came here, who never became members, but who are sympathizers and supporters, and they mail in contributes. We owe it also to our fellow brothers and sisters, our fellow men and women out there, who don't directly contribute to us, but because they are members of our black community, and they share the burden that we all bear in the black community, and they contribute to the growth of black betterment in the community, we owe it to them, even though they haven't directly made a contribution, to let them know how that power looks that's growing right in their community. This figure does not include equipment, furnishing, or personal property located in and around these buildings or structures. Also, this figure does not include the increase in value surrounding properties directly related to the acquisition and the improvement of property by the Nation of Islam. Our awareness of our accountability, or the accountability that we owe to the public, has grown. After you heard this complete report, you can understand why it has grown, what has contributed to this new growth, and why it is fitting and proper for us to make this kind of, to expose ourselves publicly as we are exposing ourselves today. Our cooperative headquarters here in Chicago has paid in excess of $1.5 million in taxes in the year 1974. Let me repeat that. Our cooperative headquarters here in Chicago has paid in excess of $1.5 million in taxes in the year 1974. For the months of January through April 1975, we have paid $325,000 in taxes. Our gross payroll for the year of 1974 was $1.3 million, which represents a total of 1,000 plus persons employed by nation's business in this area. Let me repeat that. This report shows a figure of $1.3 million and represents the employment of 1,000 plus persons in Chicago. If we are not a wholesome, healthy, and helpful German force in American society, bring me the minority group that is.
Yes, sir.
A single instance of community employment is illustrated by the construction of our national sales office building, which provided over 500 jobs for persons in this community. One building. More noteworthy, however, is the fact that this project was acclaimed as the largest minority-owned construction in the United States, built by a minority contractor, a black minority contractor, during the year 1973, the Bush Construction Company of Chicago. We all know that increased wealth needs increased growth of education. A man who grows wealthy materially and neglects to grow his knowledge is a man doomed to be inherited by wiser people. He'll just live so long, and some wiser person will inherit him and all of his wealth. The Nation of Islam operates a national network of independent schools in 47 cities across the country. These universities of Islam are high standards and respected, recognized schools. They have been recognized by the academic community for their high standards of instruction and student citizenship. The male and the female students attend separate classes, as you know, most of you know, and receive a curriculum which stresses science, mathematics, history, social studies, foreign languages, and personal hygiene, and not at all neglecting or forgetting the need for spiritual development. This civilization, this Western world, I remember they came out saying, a magazine called, I think it was Look, said, God is dead. Later on, they started arguing over prayer in school. So prayer in public school was abandoned. And ever since that trend developed, the institutions have begun to crumble lower and lower. Look what the schools are today in the big city. These schools that don't want to accept the idea of God in them. We will never make that kind of foolish turn. Many graduates of the University of Islam have attended the best schools of higher learning in America and the world. The staff of our school has an abundance of degrees and highly experienced educators. Dr. Lani Shabazz, a PhD in mathematics and former chairman of the mathematics department at Atlanta University, is presently serving as our national director of education. Excuse us, we have to interrupt here just for a moment. If there's a doctor in the house, will he please come forward? A sister needs help. Any doctor, will he come forward, please? Dr. Abira, thank you very much. We have recently appointed Dr. Fatima Ali as East Coast Regional Director of Education. Dr. Ali is a sister who is nationally recognized as an expert in the field of education. She's a PhD in education and has served on the faculty of such schools as Purdue University, John F. Kennedy University, and California State University, and in addition to being a teacher in the Gary, Indiana public school system for 17 years.